Travis, welcome into the game in T-Town. I hope you're doing well.
Hey, Ryan. How are you doing?
Good, good. Just trying to get a little bit closer to college football.
I know. I got young Evan Ryer in Bama Bound as we speak. He's excited and going through that freshman orientation. So, you know, we're always excited for football season in Alabama, but he'll be even more excited, I think, this year.
Yeah, I just hope they'll teach the incoming freshmen something they did away with a few years ago. They used to take them inside the stadium, and they would teach them the fight song inside Bryant-Denny Stadium. I don't think they do that anymore for some reason.
I hate it, but it seems like the fight song in general is taking a back seat to the piped in NFL kind of music.
Yes, it
we
is.
Hear so much,
yes.
And I don't like that. That's a little too NFL'd up for me, Ryan. I like to be able to hear the band. I like to be able to hear the fight song, and that's at any college stadium, whether it's Alabama, anywhere else. But we have gotten so NFL with the game day experience now, and I think in some ways it's been a detriment, but nothing like hearing the band fired up.
Travis, let me ask you, as I look at Alabama coming off of an 11-2 season, I think I got a press release or at least a tweet earlier today. I think it was a tweet about Alabama football. We still have tickets available. We've got 40 days away, and I know some of this is non-conference games, but why are fans not wanting to go to some of these maybe it's just not good games. I mean, Southern Miss, Alabama's not going to be a good game as we look at it from this advantage point.
Oh, it's a bubble, and I've talked about it in the past, and we've talked about it in the past. It's kind of like the tech bubble or the real estate bubble. You know, a lot of people have made a lot of money off college football, and these conferences now, they're trying to have the best of every world. They're trying to, you know, they're not trying to. They're taking the big TV money, okay, and in the process, handing over, you know, television rights to pretty much all their content, all their inventory. Everything's on television now. Even games that, you know, you would never in a million years thought would be on television 10 years ago, you know, they're on TV. So, you know, fans, they're benefiting in terms of the saturation. But you heard Nick Saban talk about this too, and this is one of the reasons why I think he's a big proponent of beefing up these schedules, is because he knows you got to give the people a reason to come to the park. And the high-def video boards, the piped-in music, and all that stuff's well and good, but And people will come, Alabama fans will go to Tuscaloosa to watch Alabama. A lot of them will, regardless of who the opponent is. But there's a lot that you're going to have to put somebody of decent caliber on the other sideline. Or, you know, the game is so accessible in terms of being able to watch it on television or any other type of multimedia outlet. There's no need to make that four-hour drive from Mobile for a 7 o'clock kickoff on a Saturday night and have to turn around and drive until the wee hours of Sunday morning to get home. It's, you know, again, these conferences have taken money from everybody, but there is a downside to it, and we're seeing it right now. Florida, Tennessee, once proud programs, they can't give away season tickets right now, Ryan.
I go to USC in Alabama, 2016. They're going to open the season in Dallas. Your thoughts about the big helmet game?
I love the matchup, but I'd rather see it in the Coliseum or Bryant-Denny Stadium. That kind of goes back to what we're talking about.
Yes, it does.
I love the matchup. And if you're going to play these neutral site games, then let's have them be those type of games. You know, titans of college football. Not mismatches that we play in the Georgia Dome and try to sell the public on a $140 ticket. And that's the problem right now with Alabama, West Virginia. And you're not going to get people to pay $140 or $80, you know, to watch that game. So on a holiday weekend, no less. So you know, these neutral site games are going. It's not just the home schedules that these teams have got to beef up. If they're going to continue to play these neutral site games, they're going to have to be big-time matchups. They're not going to be able to be one-sided, mismatches. So, yeah, I love the matchup. It should be a good one. But, again, what does that mean for Alabama fans in terms of the home schedule in 2016?
You know, Nick Saban always is ahead of the curve, whether it's recruiting, these neutral site games are too many. He's played five in a row or will play five in a row once he arrives there at USC. And Alabama doesn't need to sell the brand of Alabama football right now. It seems like they're cherry-picking when it comes to recruiting, and maybe that's part of the process. But I look at Nick Saban. He continues to talk about the nine-game schedule using the advantage, and now he said, you know, hey, if you're not going to do that, I'm going to have to go out and schedule some legitimate opponents. You look at the SEC for a couple of minutes. I think they've backdoored in. They have walked backwards into a trap by these other conferences that have went to the nine games, because these other conferences are going to use it against the SEC of saying, hey, we played nine. You know, we went through a nine-game conference schedule, and if you look at it, it's not just Alabama. It's Auburn. It's Georgia. It's Mississippi State. It's LSU, Florida. The non-conference schedules are not what we think it should be. And I think the SEC is going to be backing into this, and I think Nick Saban's been ahead of this one, but he's out there on an island by himself.
Yeah, I think for the most part, that's accurate, I would think. But, you know, a lot of these schools and these other conferences, they start crowing about nine games conference schedules. Well, A, let's look at the strength of your conference. And B, who are your other three games again? You know, if you're Alabama and you're playing an eight-game conference schedule right now and you're playing SC in addition to that, you know, regardless of the other three teams you're playing, you can pretty much know that you're on par with the leagues that are playing nine-game schedules in the conference. So, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. And, you know, you got one league that ain't playing a conference championship game. You know, I mean, how do you weigh that? So, the Big 12. So, you know, you've got some conferences that are going to talk about being at a disadvantage. Others are going to, you know, feel like they're at an advantage. But, you know, I still say with the SEC being as strong as it is, and schools like Alabama trying to schedule one high-quality non-conference opponent and then having to play a conference championship game, I don't feel like they really have to answer to anyone from that standpoint.
Travis, we were just talking a couple of minutes ago, and Brett Bielema's name came up. We played some audio, and I said, you know, I'm going to save that over for Travis Ryer. Does Smash Mouth football still work? Can you still win games? And when I say winning games, I mean, can you get to double digits just playing Smash Mouth football?
You got to be able to throw it some. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think that the way Bielema likes to do it, which is so ground and pound oriented, I think it's going to be tough in the SEC. You still have to have some legitimate balance, it can't all come off, you know, your running game. You ideally you want that to be the case, but I think Arkansas will be improved this year. But the problem for them is I still don't see where they're going to be balanced enough with Brandon Allen at quarterback and their situation at wide receiver. Hunter Henry's a very good young tight end, but you know, across the board in terms of their passing game, I think they're going to run the ball extremely well. They ran it pretty good last year in his first year, but you still have to have some balance in this league, and until they can get to that point with the passing game, it's going to be tough. It's tough at Arkansas regardless, but you know, I thought Petrino was too passing oriented and paid lip service to the running game, and that cost them. And you know, I think kind of the other way with Bielema, although I love the way they play. I mean, I love to watch a good running game like that.
You look at Alabama in 2014. I go back to the SEC media days. What was the take-home message? What was the comment that you thought sort of the grab message if you're an Alabama fan?
you know, I thought the fact that Saban really went in depth in his opening comments in the main meet and main press room about, you know, expectations in terms of discipline and those things for these guys was interesting. It was obviously an attempt to stave off questions that he knew was coming, but I thought he gave legitimate comments on the topic. But it was pretty much what you would expect in terms of, you know, on the field stuff with the quarterback situation. And the most promising things I heard came from the players, and the wide receivers talking about Blake Sims stepping forward as a leader, but at the same time, it sounded as if Jacob Coker had really established himself as a presence in the huddle, according to Amari Cooper. So I think you got some good news on both fronts from that standpoint. Now we'll see how it plays out on the field.
Travis, you predicted this 2.5 months ago. You basically went back to spring practice. If I had some audio, I'd love to play it. But you said it. You said Nick Saban needs to make sure that Blake understands he's the number one quarterback going through this offseason. He's the leader that will organize these 7-on-7 drills throughout the summer. And it looks like he's done that. He's bought into it. Now the competition with Battle, that first week of August, that will start. And it's going to be a fun fall camp. Hard to call the month of August a fall camp, but it will be.
It really will. And it's not just the only position, Ryan. I mean, you got to sort some things out at corner that are very important. You've got great competition in the defensive front seven, especially when you look at depth at those end positions. Not just depth, but you know, that one spot opposite A'shaun Robinson, I think, will still be up for grabs. It's going to be a lot of fun. The offensive line, I'm not convinced, is totally etched in stone based on what we saw at the end of spring. So I would think you'd have to go back to 08, 09 maybe to find a preseason where there's going to be this much legitimate competition at so many different spots on the field.
I know it's going to be a competition, but what's the area that you're not you're concerned the least about?
Wow. Probably wide receiver and tight end you could throw in there too, I think, and running back. I think the offensive skill spots in general, you know, when you talk about what they're going to have at running back with Yeldon and Henry at the top, and then at wide receiver with Cooper Jones, DeAndre White, Chris Black, the young guys that they have coming up to, and just get that offensive line closer to where it was the previous 2 years, and find a guy that can pull the trigger. And because I think defensively they're going to be much more disruptive than they've been the last year or two. So I think that front seven's going to cause a lot of problems. I think you're going to see tackle for loss and sack numbers go back up. So defensively, I think they'll get things figured out and then get the quarterback position figured out. And, you know, they'll have as good a chance as anybody.